wanted to say something. I'm sorry.
Oh, Rose?
Rose, I'm sorry. What did you start to say? You said it was significant. I mean, $600 million is $600 million is significant, but relative to the whole balance sheet, it's nothing.
Well, they filed a petition in bankruptcy today, which I happen to have access to, and they have, you know, it's far more than that. I mean, it's in the.
I sent that to you, Patrick.
Yeah, it's about 100.
Okay, well,
total liabilities or total borrowings? Excuse me, total borrowings were like 128 billion.
Okay, and total
billion.
Assets?
I'm not sure what their.
Well,
it was like 600 and.
639 billion.
Billion.
Total debts are 613 billion.
Okay, and that gives zero valuation as far as an ongoing business, which might be a fair value, with the exception of Neuberger Berman, which obviously is worth something.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they have is all right, fine. So we got a spread there plus the value of the business spread. All right, so let's find out and
the CP market open.
What's that?
What time does the CP market open?
It should be open now, isn't it, Patrick?
Yes, it is, but we haven't seen any paper trade.
You haven't seen well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of anybody.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's very very little trading here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we've got several calls out to dealers to see where they where they're pricing the CP, as soon as we get some indications, I will I'll let everyone know.
John, do we have any disclosure requirements if we approve going to fair value for the Lehman position?
Well, when you get to a reporting period, I guess your next reporting period would be whatever your
November.
Okay. And you have NQs along the way with the schedule of investments. What will happen is, to the extent that you fair value anything, then that will be disclosed on the schedule of investments.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, then we have two issues, and actually two completely separate groups that have to deal with it. We've got the audit committee issue of
approving
for management, fair valuing the commercial paper of Lehman Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a board issue of the management coming back to the board and giving us their recommendation on how they think we should be disposing or handling or whatever the position that we have in the Lehman paper, so that we can make the proper disclosure to the SEC. Is that
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Santa, are you on the phone yet?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I never got an email about that.
Yeah, I know. We had a problem with that, I think. So did you just hear all of that?
Yes.
Okay, so unless anybody else on the audit committee wants to discuss anything else with respect to the fair valuing, I would make a recommendation that, or a motion, that the audit committee give management the authority to fair value.
No. They have to make a presentation to you, Bill, as to what the fair value of the security is.
Yeah, but don't we have to give them the approval
to
go to
the value committee? No. What they're going to do is, you know, they're going to come up with a recommendation that says this paper should be priced at 80, 85, whatever the number is. They're going to tell you the rationale for it, and you, the audit committee, are going to approve that.
I thought what Bill thought, too. I thought in the beginning, and I want to make sure we clarify it, I thought in the beginning you were saying that we had to give the firm, meaning the advisor, the authority to do that.
The authority
to go to fair
value.
Well, they can't fair value it without your approval, is what Rose is saying.
Well, that's not what it sounded like.
No, you can't give them the authority to just come up with a number.
No, wait a second, Rose. Hold on.
Sorry,
Bill. It's okay. Our accounting principle is not to fair value any of the assets in the funds. Is that not correct?
Yes, they're based on amortized cost.
Okay, so it's a two-step process, I believe. The first step is for the audit committee, unless I'm totally off base, which I could be, but I thought that the first process was for us to tell the management team that, yes, we agree that you can fair value this asset. You come back and give us a fair value estimation of what the price is, and then we'll take whatever action has to be taken after that. But without the audit committee telling them that they have the authority to fair value, which is in effect a change of our accounting principles, that's a meaningless exercise.
Yeah, but Bill, you haven't. But until they actually come back to you at the price and you approve, you haven't changed your accounting policy.
Okay.
So you don't have to pre-approve them. They just have to go and do what they're going to do, and then what you're going to do is analyze the information, because it could be, you know, if it was trading at nice and far, you could come back, this is immaterial, we're not moving our accounting policy.
Okay.
You may have other recommendations. So.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay, so it sounds like Patrick goes back and he looks at what would be fair value pricing, and he looks at whether or not we can sell it, and what would be the consequence of us selling it. And
we may decide to sell it or hold it.
Right, and then we reconvene the board,
yeah.
And the board decides if they want us to sell it or hold it.
Yeah, but also you might decide that the prices that are being put out there don't represent an active market because the absence of trading today. So even though bids may be, let's say they're at 70, you don't consider that to represent fair value, and that's a presentation you can say to the board that notwithstanding those are the prices, we don't think it's in the best interest of the fund to sell. And in terms of valuing it, we think that the more appropriate value is 80. And the reasons we think that are this, even though they diverge from the prices that you could get today in the market.
Okay.
So then if we say, if we just go by that scenario that you just gave, then the whatever $600 or $800 million of CP gets valued at 80 for NAV purposes, and any redemptions today would reflect that pricing?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then do they have to do that?
No, whoa. Reflect that pricing, but that pricing does not break the half penny, so we're fine.
Can we let Patrick go and start working on this?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Patrick. So wait a minute. The only problem is I got Patrick, so I'm still on the phone with Patrick.
All right. All right. I'm just going to put you on hold. All right. All right. Can I ask a quick question? I'm sorry, slightly off the point, but just from a mechanics standpoint, now that Lehman has filed, which you tell me they officially have, so let's say they had commercial paper that was rolling off tomorrow. What is their responsibility under the chapter to honor that up? How does that work? Do they pay that down? What happens?
Everything is on hold.
Yep, that's my understanding as well. They can't disperse any monies out of the company without the consent of the bankruptcy court.
Right.
So they file a petition today to allow them to continue operations and make payments in the ordinary course. So, like, for example, pay their employees so people don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
But other payments are not going to be made. They're suspended.
Without pinning you down as to when, but generally, what would be your guess as to what the timing would be for the bankruptcy court to rule on something such as the payment of, for instance, commercial paper?
Hasn't happened before, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm just curious as to the methodology.
It has happened in the Lombard Wall, when Lombard Wall went, which was about 20 years ago. The courts, under an amicus brief from the Fed, allowed the repo to be released from the bankruptcy.
Okay. Yes. So there is a possibility, Bruce, is what you're saying, that the bankruptcy court...
No, that's repo. That's repo. We don't have repo.
That's not commercial paper. Ronnie, I think you're asking a question that is almost an impossible one to answer.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Somebody just got on the phone. Who beat?
It's Stuart Strauss. I'm sorry, I'm late.
Okay. Can I just interrupt for a second? Sean, you said that you know that other funds are holding Lehman commercial paper. Are you at liberty to tell us who those names are?
No, I can't.
Okay. Is it more than one other?
One other that I personally know of.
Okay. Have you heard from anybody else of others?
Yet. We have others that have the counterparty exposure, obviously, but none have called this morning about commercial paper issues yet.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, what we're trying to do is, obviously, number one, we're going to see what the come up with whatever recommendation is on fair valuation or selling piece, and you guys will make that decision. We need that information to tell our clients, because right now they are calling in redemptions. Okay, so we want that information as quickly as possible, and so we can tell our clients how we view this thing, and if we hope for the best, maybe it calms them a little bit, because if we have a run on the fund, then we have another problem.
When they call in, are they just calling in and saying I want my money out, Or are they calling and saying, do you have exposure to Lehman Brothers? And when we say yes, they say, I want my money out.
Well, basically both. The bottom line is right now we have redemptions queued up for $5.2 billion out of the primary fund. And
the double whammy on that is obviously as the assets of the fund go down, the more significant the Lehman holdings become relative to the total assets of the fund.
Right. Primary is at, what, 65? Let me just check here.
You know,
$80 billion.
You know that.
Wait a minute, Bruce.
No,
said $80 billion. No.
That's all right. What's that?
No, primary is about $64 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's $64 billion before the redemptions.
That's correct.
Okay.
You know that in situations like this, people become very emotional. But the reality is, I mean, where are you going to put your money if you can't leave it in a money fund?
They're going to put it into an all government money fund.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I don't want to sound extreme, but I think it's good that we know everything. What are our options on staving off or delaying redemptions if we think that the problem is really just people panicking for no good reason?
Fund is permitted. You have to price a redemption every day, so you have to give people today's price of a dollar. But you're permitted to withhold the payment of the redemption proceeds for up to 7 days. That's obviously considered death in the money fund business. So,
okay. How about redemptions in kind?
The fund can do redemptions in kind to any party that's not an affiliate. So any less than 5% holder, you can give them, any securities that you pick. For an affiliate, so any greater than 5% holder, you're required under a no-action letter to give them a slice of all the liquid securities in the portfolio.
We don't have anybody at 5%.
Okay, so you can do distributions in kind.
I, for whatever it's worth, and I'm just a trustee, and it's not my business, but...
You think we're going to do that? You're crazy.
Exactly.
Well, I would
tell anybody that they're getting anything other than what they want, because if you want to see that $5 billion turn into $30
billion, right.
That's all you got to do, is say, oh, we're going to send you a used Mercedes and Bruce's Jeep.
Right. Okay, here's another one for you, Rose.
Sure.
And, listen, I'm just asking questions.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
If we come back and the board decides that the fair valuation is at par, can we then, under 17A7, sell the Lehman paper from the primary fund to our international liquidity fund?
You can only do it if there is a readily available market price. So under normal circumstances, there wouldn't be any issue whatsoever. Under these circumstances, I'm not sure you're going to be able to satisfy that there's a readily available market price. So the board determining a fair value is not readily available market price. It's got to be determined by an independent. It's got to be determined by the market forces.
Well, it doesn't get any better than par, right? So if primary sells it at par.
It's not that it doesn't get any better. Our fund is being advantaged, to a certain extent, because that other fund's going to give us cash.
The other fund's on.
But you're a fiduciary with respect to that other fund, and. So, our fund's not harmed, but arguably they're getting a security that's not necessarily worth par.
I don't know what your thought process is, Bruce, but even though it's not a registered fund, we'd have liability if we did something like that.
Right, because you're the advisor's a 40 Act advisor under both.
Right. Well, forget the 40 Act advisor. We're just about advisor.
Yeah.
You're a fiduciary. You're a fiduciary.
Right.
Okay.
I think anything, Bruce, that looks too cute by half is not going to be a good thing in the long term for the reserve.
Right. Okay.
So I think we just sort of take our lumps if we have to.
Okay.
I think people that pull out in a panic will be back, in a week or 2 weeks after things settle down and everybody knows where everything is.
Yeah.
I have a mechanical question for Rose, I guess,
or
Sean, or I'm not sure who. So let's say that over the course of the next, say, hour, they come back and they say we have you know, we think this stuff on a fair value basis is worth 90, and it would be our position, our recommendation to the board that we hold on to the position because we think it's not going to deteriorate any further. And you know, they give us all the rationale. And let's say the board decides, okay, we're going to do that, and then we make this filing with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a requirement for the management to come back to the board on a daily basis, as an example, if they think that the fair value has gone from 90 to 80, from 80 or 90 to 70?
Since the fund is pricing every day that you don't change the value is a representation that you continue to think it is worth 90.
Right.
So if management, you know, is supposed to continue to be looking at prices, et cetera, and if they think it's changed to 89 even, they're supposed to come back and, you know, have another valuation call.
But by not
coming back, they're representing to you that they continue to believe it's worth 90.
Bill, this is Stuart. Under these circumstances, it would be my strong recommendation to you that you daily briefings, okay?
Okay.
It's a paper that they were marking from 100 to 95. They wouldn't call the board.
No, but these are, you know, I don't need to tell you, not normal circumstances.
I understand. Okay, so I just
particularly think. Since we'll have informed the SEC staff, they're going to want to continue to be informed about how things are going.
And they will know
what we priced it at, and they will know what everybody else is pricing it at. And to the extent there's some divergence there, you know, we will be getting calls from them to us saying, gee, everybody else is pricing it at X, you're pricing it at, you know, Y.
Does that mean that if once we price it, assuming, let's say, 90, and then a week later, a day later, the pricing's at 89.5. Not only do we convene the call, but then do we have to report that that day to the SEC?
No, we don't.
Patrick, are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Are you working on this?
Yes, we are.
Okay, because we got to get this thing out.
Yeah, the market is, as everyone can imagine, is very, very illiquid. We haven't seen anything trade, but we've got the phone calls out to about 5 dealers to get indications.
Okay.
But again, it's
indications on what, Lehman?
Yes. As I heard discussed earlier, the market is not surprisingly acting very, very irrational. Things are going to calm down here in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, we don't need to. But let's not speculate on what may or may not happen. This is still a meeting of the Board of Trustees. So if you know. What do you guys want to do? You want to continue this conversation, or do you want to pick up again in a half hour or something like that for another?
Yeah, why don't we? I think Bruce, why don't we set a time for everybody to call back, and this way we don't have to deal with the email situation. And then, you know, how much time do you think you need? What's appropriate? Is 10 o'clock too early? Do you want to do it at 11 o'clock?
I'm thinking 9:30.
Oh, you think you're going to have enough information by then?
Patrick, do you think we're going to have enough information?
We should have some indications.
I mean, you know, dealers usually respond in about 2 seconds, so if you're not responding in 2 seconds, information right there.
Okay, 9:30 is fine with me. It's okay with everybody else.
Absolutely.
Fine.
Okay.
So we'll all call back in on the same number?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have the same password, too?
Yes, everything's the same.
Okay,